Καταλαγέ. The prodigal story. We are talking about reconciliation, and today we are going to look at the prodigal story. I'm sure we all know the story, but I'm just going to give you the headlines of that story and we'll take it from there. Is that okay? Oh, I said, is that okay? All right. So Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11, the Bible says that, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided his living or livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went to join himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him to the field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that the swine ate, and no man gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to the father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hallelujah. Let's jump to verse 25. Now his older brother was in the field and came and drew near to the house and heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, your father has come, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might kill and make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots and killed the fatted calf, has divided your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said, son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Here ends the reading of his holy word. Now, this particular parable or story has been preached many, many times over, and I'm sure we all know the story. And like I say, there are three characters in the story: the father, the elder brother, and the prodigal son. And it's almost always the case where we vilify the prodigal son. He is the villain in the story, isn't that right? And the father is the God type in the story. And the elder brother is also another character in the story. Today we are talking about reconciliation. Like we did last week, we looked at how Joseph, who had offended his brother Esau by stealing his inheritance and ran away to his uncle's house, had returned. And when he came, he made peace with his brother. Amen. And I said to you, katalage is a Greek word which means reconciliation. That means to restore back to the original form. And I said to you, in Genesis chapter number 3, Genesis chapter 1, he made man, chapter 2, he made man, put man in the garden. Man had fellowship with God. And for some reason in chapter 3, Satan entered, or the serpent entered, and was able to trick trick man, and man ate the forbidden fruit and so lost his fellowship with God, and he had to die spiritually. Are you with me? And I said to you that that was the reason why Jesus was sent, to bring reconciliation. Amen. So that is the story we are talking about. This time around, we have a prodigal son who was a son at home, and he decided that he didn't want to be in the house. He wanted all the provision the father had, but he didn't want to be under the law or restrictions of the father. He wanted to go out there and be his own boss. So he went out there to spend the monies or the inheritance that he got. And it came to a point where he lost everything. And so he decided that, I need to go back. I need to katalage. I need to go and restore my relationship with my father. It's a very simple story. Amen. But I want you to know that it's two people that needed reconciliation in this story. Two people were villains in this story. Not just one person. Both sons were villains in this story. The elder brother and the younger brother both needed reconciliation. I'll tell you why. The Bible says that the younger brother said to his father, give me the portion that falls to me. And so the father divided his inheritance into two and gave the younger boy the inheritance. And the boy went to a far country. Note, if you are using a proper Bible, circle the word far country. Now, far country means that you are physically removed from the location to a far place. Isn't that right? Hello, are you with me? A far country, let's say this is the country, is this room, and is removed from here to maybe Vienna. That's a far country, right? Hello? Physically, he has moved from here to Vienna, which is a very far place from here. But can I submit to you that the older brother was also removed far from the father? His heart was far from the father. Even though he was present with the father, his heart was very far from the father. So both of them went to a far country. And in a far place, you cannot have the father's love. That is why the elder brother was there as a son, but he behaved like a servant. Oh, I don't know. I think I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. Let me try this place. He was there as a son, but the Bible says that he behaved like a servant. If you look at verse 25, it says that all these years I've served like a servant, and you never gave me a young goat to make merry with my friends. How many know that there's a difference between a servant and a son? See, for most of us in the church who are children of God, who are sons and daughters of God, sometimes we behave as servants and not as children. And the reason why I say that is because your heart is not the same akin to the father's heart. A son looks like the father and has the same heart as the father. So if he was truly a son, he would have had the heart that the father had. His heart would have been of love and compassion. See, in spite of the mistakes that the brother had made, the father forgave, but the elder brother couldn't forgive. Hallelujah. For most of us in the church, We are in church, but our heart is in a far country. We are in the house of God, but our heart is following our brother. Do you know that we didn't know that this boy went to prostitutes to spend the money? It was the older brother that told us. So even though he was in the church, he had binoculars and he was following his brother. I don't know whether you are with me. He was here. He was in the house with the father, but he was looking outside to see what was happening. He was jealous of the brother with the prostitutes and everything. He wished he could be that person. Some of us, we are in the church. We are in the house of God, but we are jealous of those who are in the crack house, those who are in the nightclub. We wish we could be there. So our heart is there, even though our body is here. I don't know whether. So we all need reconciliation. I say all of us need reconciliation. It is not just the prodigal son that needs reconciliation. You and I also need to be reconciled to the Father. Because even though we are sons, we behave like servants. Am I talking to somebody? Says he went to a far country and there wasted his father's living on harlots. This son, older brother, went to a far country in his heart and there wasted the father's love. Everybody was wasteful. It wasn't just the prodigal son was wasteful, the elder brother was also wasteful. Some of us, we are wasteful in our love. That is why we don't invite anybody to the house of God. We are wasteful with compassion. That is why we don't preach the word of God to anybody. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when Jesus was walking and he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now as we move on the bus, we see people, and nothing crosses our mind that these people, if they were to die tomorrow, what will happen? That's their business. We are like the prodigal son. We are on our way to church. We are on our way to work. We are like the elder brother. We are on our way to work. We are on our way to the choir. We can't be bothered about anybody else. We are saved. The rest can go to hell. Literally. The older brother says that I am a son. He can go to hell because he has wasted the father's living. So he's not allowed to be here. In fact, the boy refused to go home. He stayed outside. He heard the party. He said, I'm not going. Because this is not fair. He stomped in protest. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Some of us, it's like it never ever occurs to us that somebody needs salvation like you do, you did sometime. You have peace. You wake up from your bed. You wake up in your bed. There are some people, they haven't seen their own beds for many, 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 many days and years. Almost every morning, they wake up in different beds. They wake up from different places. Do you think they enjoy their lives being like that? Sometimes they don't know the person who they just slept with. Some people wake up, you know, with a terrible headache every day because they are hungover. Do you think they enjoy the life they are living? They are prisoners to the lifestyle. And they need somebody to share, somebody to So Ernestina was singing. I was just thinking about Ernestina's song as I was trying to talk, and it didn't work. They say men can't do two things at the same time. He says, you thought I was worth saving. Why did you think I was worth saving?
you must have thought about me to think that I'm worth saving. Are you with me? The older brother didn't have that compassion. The father, who is a God type, thought the younger brother was worth saving. So he kept that. The Bible says he came every day to look out to see whether he will see his son coming. How many of us look out every day to see whether our brothers or our friends are coming to the house of God? We want to see whether they are being reconciled to God, or we can't be bothered. We are like servants. All we are worried about is what we are doing. Hallelujah. It wasn't just the prodigal son that was wasteful. The older brother was wasteful. Some of us, we are wasteful. You see, the second thing that I want you to see is that the prodigal son was selfish. How do you stay in a house? You eat, you are clothed, you have all the creature comfort, you are blessed, you are a son, you have protection, provision, you have everything. And then one day you wake up and say you are dividing the luxury that everybody is enjoying in the house into two, and you take one, a half of it away so that nobody can enjoy that blessing. Very selfish boy. He said, to hell with everybody. I'm taking mine. I'm going. So he took and left. The older brother was also selfish. He didn't have compassion. He couldn't share in the joy that everybody in the house was having. He said, the father said, this your brother was dead and now has come alive, and we are rejoicing for the fact that we have received him alive. Even one of the servants told him that your brother was dead and has come back to life. He said, no, it's not about the brother. It's about me. It's all about me. We come to church. Where is my breakthrough? Where is my blessing? Where is my miracle? Where is my wife, my husband? I need my marriage blessed. I need my children dedicated. It's me. And we don't care. We don't care that there's some don't even have salvation, let alone think about the wife, to think about the child to dedicate. You know, the older brother was so selfish, he didn't realize that the room of the prodigal son was empty. He didn't realize there was space, but he couldn't be bothered. So we come to church, the chair next to us is empty, but we can't be bothered, because like the elder brother, it's all about me. I'm here. To hell with everybody else. Are you looking at the prodigal son differently now? Because you are also in the story. How many can see yourself in the story? The room has gone quiet already. Now we've even started. Let me go and hide, because I'm getting some resistance from this corner. Hallelujah. Amen. It wasn't just the younger boy or the can we give both of them names so that makes it easier? So this side you are going to choose a name for the prodigal son. This side you are going to choose a name for the elder brother. Is that okay? So name quickly. Give me a name. Tintin. Do you like Tintin? Yes. Tintin. Which one? Okay, how many like Molife? How many like Tintin? Okay, what about the older brother? Sorry? Maben. Mabel. Okay, so Mabel and Molife. Mabena. Mabena. It happened in Botswana some years ago. Okay. So, Mabena and Molufe. So, Molufe
That's the prodigal son. He was rebellious. He rebelled. Because when he was leaving the house, uncles and aunties came to beg, to advise him. Listen, what you are doing, be careful, it's wrong. Take your time. This thing is you stay home. Then he said, I don't care. I'm a grown man. Let me manage or mismanage my affairs. Nobody should tell me what to do. A young man is capable of handling or mishandling his affairs. He was rebellious. Mabena was also rebellious. When the servants came and told him, it's time to go home. He says, I won't go. If my younger brother has come back home, then I won't go. There are some of us, when we come to church and somebody comes to sit next to us, he doesn't smell like you smell. He doesn't look like you look. You begin to feel like the elder brother. Why have they invited such a person to the church? He doesn't smell good. He doesn't smell like me. Why did the ashes put this guy next to me? How many of my banners are changing? Hey, my banners, you don't change. So you are continuing to be my banner. Listen. If we have a heart of rebellion against the wish of the Father, we are not his. Satan has equal jurisdiction on the prodigal son as well as the older son because they don't have the heart of the father. Molefe's heart is dark, wicked. Mabena's heart is dark and wicked. That is why on the judgment, they will be surprised that God will look at Molefe and say that you wicked son, and look at Mabena and say that you wicked son, and Mabena will be shocked. I never left. I was here. I was seven. I sang in the church, in the choir. I worked in the church. I did everything. I gave offering. I did everything they told me to do. Why? See, you did, but your heart was very far away from me. See that these people worship with their lips, but their hearts are very far. In Hebrews, let's look at that scripture quickly. Are we okay? Am I preaching? Have we got a scripture? In Hebrews, sorry. I think it's 4. You thought I was worth keeping. Have you found the scripture? Somebody find it for me quickly. Isaiah 29:30. Yeah, but I'm looking for the Hebrews one. It's the same one. Okay, I read. Matthew as well. Matthew 15:8. These people draw near with their mouths, but their mouths. And honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Hallelujah. The heart is far from me. How many can agree that your heart is not God's heart? When it comes to we didn't know the heart of the elder brother until the prodigal son showed up. How many will agree with that? We thought the elder brother was good, was a good guy, until the
The prodigal son showed up. Some of us, we don't even know our heart. That's why David said that, try me, Lord. Search my heart. Try me. If there be any wicked way in me, then reveal it to me so I will know. The man, on Wednesday, we're looking at that man who died and had five brothers. He said to Father Abraham, I have five brothers. I don't want them to die and come to this place of torment. So send Lazarus to go and preach to them. And Father Abraham said that, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed that nobody can cross from here to them or there back to here. Can't do that. Then say, if we can't do that, then please send Lazarus to my father's house to preach to my. The person was in hell. He was in torment. But even in torment, he was thinking about others. But we are in the house of God. And our mind doesn't go anywhere but what concerns us. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you hypocrites, you worship with your mouth, but your heart is far. James, I think James chapter 4, is it 4:4? Have you got my notes? Say, adulteress and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity to God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. So the prodigal son had made himself friends with the world. So he was an enemy to God. But the elder brother was also a hypocrite. Whitewashed tomb. Outside was clean, but inside was full with hatred, with dead men's bones. So both of them disqualified. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? The third character in the story is the father. The father is a reconciler. He is the author of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, he says that this is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. His father did not take account of the wrong that was done to him by the son. He was the one who was wronged, but he was the one who kept going out to check if the boy was coming. And when he saw the boy coming from far, he was the one that ran to the boy. That's the heart of the reconciler. The heart of the reconciler is to run to the people and bring them in. The father went and brought the prodigal son home. And not only that, he made a party for him. He put a ring on his finger. He put a new coat on him. Behaved as if the guy had never done anything wrong. What the world is waiting for is practical love. What the world is waiting for to be reconciled is, don't treat me by my mistake. Don't address me by the wrongs I did. You see, I know what I did more than you know. I know where I've been. I know the food I've eaten with pigs. The boy was rehearsing in his mind what he was going to say to his father. The father was not interested in anything the boy had to say. In fact, the father was happy and trying to say, no, stop. I have rehearsed my lines. Let me give you the lines I've rehearsed. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your high. Say, stop that nonsense. Come home, son. Come, let's go. I'm making a party for you. I'm putting a ring on your finger. I'm making you the head of the table. You are the special invited guest of honor. Not by what you did wrong, but according to my love. Bible says that God commanded his love towards us in that whilst we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died not when we're righteous. He died when we were still sinners. Hallelujah. The older boy also needed the father's reconciliation. The father had to go out again. The father went out twice. He went out for the prodigal son. He had to go back out there for the older brother to reconcile the older brother, who was upset that the younger brother had been brought in. Are we upset when others come in? Are we upset when others get saved? This guy who has been playing in the nightclub, has been playing for all these bands, have just come, and the pastor has made room and put him behind the keyboard. Does the pastor know where he has been? What his fingers have done? Elder brother, make room. Make room. Make room for others to come in. God made room for you. And God, the Bible said, and God was in us. It was in us reconciling the world to himself. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians and read further. It says, verse 20. No, go to the previous verse, sorry, 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, he has brought us in to bring others in. What the father was waiting on or wanted was that the older brother would be the one who was outside waiting for the prodigal son to come to bring him in, to reconcile him to the house. But on the contrary, his heart was full of hatred and jealousy. What is your heart full of? Are you a reconciler? He says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, which means that we are supposed to be doing what the father was doing. We are supposed to go out there, hug on them, love on them, fall on their necks, kiss them, put a ring and a coat on them, and tell them, welcome home. Make them feel comfortable. Make them feel at home. The reason why some people never go to church is because when they go to church, they feel very uncomfortable. It's easier to go to a nightclub. You will be made welcome.
Very much so.
But when you come to church, you will not be made welcome. They are dancing to the left, to the right. You just came from the nightclub. You don't know what's going on. And then this one's bumping you this side, and that one is bumping you. And when they bump you, then they give you a bombastic side eye. Say, why are you not moving with the rhythm? Why are you not moving like us? Why are you clapping like us? You are clapping offbeat. What is wrong with you? How many, not you, but you know somebody who has gone to church and never felt welcome? Just one person. Father, the people are full of lies. Get them, Lord, before I do. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Bible says that he takes the lonely and he puts them in families. Now, a family is a place of love. A family is a place of understanding. It's a safe space for people, which means that we have to create that family atmosphere. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. We have to create, and to create a family, you need a father, you need a mother. So somebody's got to play father role. Somebody's going to play a mother role. Am I making sense? In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says, and he gave the apostles, they devoted themselves to apostles' doctrine and to the breaking of bread. They were breaking bread from house to house. It means that they were playing families, which means that somebody played father in the house, somebody played mother, somebody cooked and invited them. Come sit up, come and eat like mommy would do. Daddy will go and bring the food, and then and bring the drinks and cook with mommy, and then they'll call them. And as they're sitting there, mommy will be bringing the food from the kitchen and pouring drinks. And, do you want some more? Do you want more food? Then be dishing out the food. Am I? I know you have different. Family philosophies and context. Why was he talking about mommy cooking? What in this day and age, fathers also cook. But I know, understand. But you just, let's go to the old school context. So free me. Free me in your mind. I beg you. Hallelujah. Somebody has to play big brother. Somebody had to play big sister. Big brothers like to bully young brothers. Playful, isn't it? How many were like that? But you touch the younger brother and you see.
It's true.
I had two older brothers. They always used to bully me. So when I was growing up, there were two that were around. The third one was not around. So they always bully. But one day, I got into a fight in primary school. And the school where we were, it was a very sandy, sandy playground. Very sand, like raw sand. And that day, I normally, anytime I fight, I don't lose. But that day, I got into a fight with the wrong cat. And this guy had sand in my eyes, my nose, my ears. I was down, he was up, and he was pounding on me. And then as he was beating me, my eyes were closed because sun was coming everywhere. Then all of a sudden, I felt a hand lift both of us up and turn us the other way so that the boy who was pounding on me was now on the ground. Then when I opened my eyes, I was on top. And the boy was on the floor, and my older brother was standing here. Francis was here. Frank was there. And they say, give it to him. That day, the boy chopped sand. His nose, his eyes, his ears. That is what happens when there's a family around. They may bully you, but when push comes to shove, they fall in and they come in. Can we be like Frank and Francis? Come in and help. The devil is not getting this one. You are in need. We are here. What do you want? This guy is bullying you. Okay, turn, listen, turn him. Now, one stood here, the other stood there. Give it to him. Which means I know all the other people were bystanders. Nobody could come and interfere. There was no way I was losing that fight. I went to China. They said, the pastor said it was fight. Yes, I used to fight. Hallelujah. The heart of the father was a heart of reconciliation. There's a word that I was trying to remember. Let me tell you what is a Greek word. It is called, that was the word I was trying to
pronounced that my tongue got caught. Are you ready for the word? All right, I'll give it to you in a minute. It is called apokatalasso. APOKATALASO. And that means going totally, thoroughly, complete change of one state, making sure that one state is changed from enmity to love. That's what my brothers did. They changed my state from failure to success, from being beaten to be the beater. The father goes out, looking out. I don't know where my brothers were, but when the fight started, they were not around. But somehow, somebody alerted them, and they came swinging. They came to apokatalasso to restore parity. Because I was on the floor. As to how I got on the floor, I don't know. Normally, I'm the one that throws the first punch, but this time I was... Are we encouraging us to fight? Yes, you have to fight in the spirit, not in the flesh. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we fight. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, which means we fight. You need to have some brothers and sisters around you who can come and help in the fight. You are going through a terrible storm. You need somebody there. A reconciler comes and says that I am with you. We are going to fight this together. We are going to change the situation. We're going to get him. Oh, we got the guy good. From that day, that guy never bothered me. Ever. Because he knew that if he tried, my two brothers would be coming. Hallelujah. There were different types of elder brother. If it was this elder brother in the story, I would have died that day. He would be the one who would describe the fight to the father. This your foolish son that was fighting in public and disgracing your name. Hallelujah. A reconciler is the one that brings changes the relationship between two people, between God and man. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, and he says that, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. He sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that we could be adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you are no longer slaves, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Hallelujah. Before you were Gentiles, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to what? To so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to weak and useless spiritual principles? Hallelujah.
Why do you want to go? Now that you know God, why do you still want to become like the elder brother? You are in the house of God, but you're a slave. You are in the house of God, but your heart is full of anger, bitterness, and hatred. You are still looking at your friend that has sugar daddies that take them to, what do you call it? Bahamas and Bahrain for holiday. Colossians chapter 1 verse 21. We close with this. Is that okay? Have you learned something? And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Hallelujah. He says that if you hear and you heed to it, he will treat you like you never ever went away. He will treat you like you never sinned. He will treat you like you never thought wrong of the prodigal son. He will treat you, prodigal son, like you never left home. The reconciler is here and is reconciling. Stand to your feet.